session number 14788, Rule 2.
Mr. Parker, Reel 2. We're talking about the first Reedsdale you went to in 38. What was the setup at Reedsdale? Do you remember?
Well, what do you mean by setup?
What was it like down there? I mean, were you in tents or what?
Oh, no, tents. Shocking tents. When we were out on manoeuvres, and the old sheep used to come in and fill the tent with their motion, we used to have to clean it out for a day. And of course, there were palace in those days, no lalos.
So fairly uncomfortable. But was it worse than you were used to? I mean, you'd done some camping.
Oh, yeah, no, we had the floorboards in, so I mean, it was all right, yeah.
So you weren't too bad then?
No, no.
And what are we actually doing there? I mean, at Reedsdale.
What do you mean, the regiment or...?
Yeah, you and your signallers during the exercise, because it was a firing camp, wasn't it?
Well, it was a firing camp, so we obviously the same sort of thing. We run out the line, and if you're on a wireless, you did the wireless thing, so...
But this time you're actually firing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, of course, you're either OP or, you know, gun position, so...
Which would you do?
Well, you varied it. I mean, if probably sometimes with an officer, I mean, he'd say, oh, I want so-and-so, because he knew he was comfortable with him, so... He'd say, is Parker free? Yeah. I said Parker, you know. So. Is turn free? Turn.
We just cleared up on the tape something we should have spotted earlier. You, at the time, the regiment hadn't doubled up, so it wasn't A and B troop, it was just 425 battery, which was just four guns. Mm. And they doubled up in 39, I think.
At Reedsdale again, weren't they?
Yeah. But so at the moment, you're just in 425. Now, you did very well. Do you remember the competition at Reedsdale? What happened? Or how did it work? How did you get the right to go to Lark Hill?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, normally, I mean, as a signal, I mean, you're out on a limb on your own. I mean, I also don't say to you, oh, we're going to do so-and-so, and we've qualified for... Oh, we knew that we'd qualified.
Were you aware of... Was there much competitive element with 426, the other battery? Or did you even meet them or know who they were?
Well, we didn't even... want them to exist, sort of thing. I mean, it was 426 and 425. If you're 425, you were sort of the kingpin, but 426... Well, in a roundabout way, you know, 426, they were sort of miners from this area.
Hucknall,
that way. Whereas the 425 battery were all... And they're a bit more sort of like Johnny Walker. I mean, he was an accountant. And they're all sort of a bit more, you know... What shall I say... bit more endowed, and you know, probably with jobs and families and things like that.
Did you take part in? I mean, you were solid for 425 as well, were you?
Oh yeah.
And what did you think of 426?
I mean, it's like being a fire supporter and not supporter, so in that.
Was it a real rivalry or was it a friendly rivalry? I mean,
friendly, but I mean, he said some 426. Oh, I was in 426. Yeah, sure.
And right, well, let's go on to Lark Hill. What do you remember? You went down in the V8.
Oh yeah.
And what happened when you got there?
Well, the same sort of thing. I mean, that they put us in digs, and we got cracking on the chute kind of thing.
Now, things didn't go well that year, did they? At that time, do you remember, or would you be aware that it had gone badly?
No.
So as far as you were concerned,
we came fifth out of five. Okay, we came fifth. A bloke said to me, why did you know? I said, well, I didn't know about it, so we came fifth. He said, how many people were shooting us? I said, five.
Do you know what went wrong? Would you know as a signaller?
No.
Just a bad day?
No.
Now,
as far as we're concerned, I mean, we'd done well, I mean, as signallers. I mean, we put a wire out and we'd done this and we'd done that.
Now, the Munich happened while you were down there. What impact did that have? Did you understand what was happening?
No. Well, this bloke had come back and said, well, it's peace in our time, and he was Mr. Chamberlain, he was the Prime Minister, and all we were worried about was getting back home. The people went on the notice board the last day, and they left us out in the field reeling in. Remember that they'd fired and finished. They'd drilled out the old guns and they were on their way back. And we were still... That's why Gary was a bit, you know... Come on, you all, where have you been? Because he got to get back for dinner or something in Nottingham.
How did you wind it back in?
Well, you see a drum like that, and you got a little handle.
A drum with a hole in the middle?
Yeah, just wind it back.
And a handle?
Yeah.
So it was easy?
Oh, elementary, no, sort of.
Now...
I've got one at home to do my... when I'm... doing the lawnmower, you know, sort of from the mains to the...
Now, the regiment became a regiment. It was 107 Brigade before, but after the thing, it became a proper regiment, and they started to expand, and you got two troops each, and that's when you went into A troop. That'd be right, would it?
Yeah.
And was there any impact on all these newcomers coming in?
What impact?
Well, did it affect the way things work? Because you'd stop being the least experienced and be one of the more experienced. Because they doubled in size, didn't they? More than doubled in size.
Well,
in 4 months.
I should think, you didn't see much of the other troops. I mean, you were signalling in A troop or whatever, you know, like I was, and you didn't know much about B troop or C troop.
So... it didn't affect you much at all. You carried on with your training.
Oh, yeah.
What about... So the next thing would be Reedsdale 1939. Do you remember anything special about that?
39.
That's the last one before the war.
Oh, of course, 38 was the King's... No, it's about the same sort of thing.
Did you enjoy camp?
Oh, yeah. Always.
What did you like about it?
Well, I mean, the excitement of getting to camp and meeting people again. There's one a few different phases and, you know, you're going somewhere. I mean, going back to my childhood, I mean, I didn't have a good childhood, so, I mean, I didn't go to many places. So when I joined the TA, it was sort of an outlet. It was, you're going up to Scotland or Larkhill or, you know, wherever. So it was an adventure all the time.
So, now after that, after Reedsdale, the regiment was getting more and more ready for war. Were you aware that war was coming after, in as 1939?
Oh, read the papers and, you know, sort of coming up on drill and things like that. I mean, they talked about it, but we weren't ready for war, let's face it.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, when we went overseas, I mean... our equipment was terribly outdated and outmoded. I mean, we went overseas with 18 pounders in 4 or 5 hours.
And you were aware of that even before the war started, didn't
you? Yeah.
Were you called up with a key party? There's a key party called up earlier in August.
Oh, I was on that, yeah. Mm.
And what did that involve?
Well, you had to report to the drill hall and they didn't want to know because the... there's too many bots come at the same time. So they send us home for a week and then to regroup.
I think that sounds like the embodiment on that was the 1st of September, would that be?
Well, we came up a week before, that's what I say, you know, about 24th.
But there's nothing to do?
No, to send us home for... because most of the lads were local, so you nip back home.
And what do you remember about September the 1st, when the regiment actually embodied? What was happening at the drill hall?
Well, we didn't go to the drill hall. We were sent to Hollins Mill.
Straight away? You never called in?
Yeah.
What was it like at Hollins? That's it's on Garden Street.
Yeah, that's right, Garden Street, yeah. Well, it was an old mill, and we were in the basement. I always remember one bloke, I don't know whether anybody's mentioned him, but a bloke called Bill Booth. And he worked at Players. I mean, most people worked at Players or Rally in Nottingham. And he had an eye test. And the bloke said, right, Booth, sit on that chair. Now read these letters. And there was a big, the big pillars holding this sort of yarn factory up. And he'd got this sheet hanging over on these pillars. And he says, which sheet, sir? So I said, it's on this pillar, look. He says, well, I can't see the pillar even. He was trying to get it. Even to this day, he would come down and say, I can't see the pillar. It was about, I think, about 20 foot wide. A great big massive thing. And the eye thing was draped on the front. Anyway, the pastor paid one. Because in those days, I mean, they wanted anybody, so...
So it wasn't a serious medical?
And we were all down there, and, you know...
What, do they have anything to sleep on?
On the floor.
Was that uncomfortable, or...?
Well, he got used to it eventually.
And, do you remember the air raid precautions? And there were some air raid warnings as well. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, they were very scatty. We had one bloke who'd got a Bren gun and he's gone to the top of the building. And it was like Fred Garnos, really. People wouldn't believe him in things that they used to...
So there was no proper air raid, because do you remember the air raids? They were false alarms, but air raid warnings. No. Do you remember them?
We went down to the rifle range a couple of times, and that was supposed to be our sort of retreat down there, but nothing happened.
And what sort of training were you? You weren't in Nottingham long at all. You moved off in late September, but during that 3 or 4 weeks, do you remember what you were doing in? What sort of training or work you were doing?
Well, just fiddling about. Doing between the cells, like, I mean, take it, set out, and radio set, and to set it up, and say, just give it a bell, like, you know. Not serious training, because, I mean, don't forget, they were only lads at 18, 19.
Would you be allowed out in the evening?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Well, you go, you see. See the family.
Did you drink much at the time?
A couple of pints of. A day, 3 pints a day.
Socially?
Yeah, socially, yeah.
And was there any favourite pub for the lads at Hollins? I mean, was there a local one near to it?
Not really, no, no. We used to go back to their own, you know, so... I mean, from Hollins to where I lived, it was only a matter of about 400 or 500 yards. And most of the pubs were the same, so they'd go to the local and see.
And what was your local, do you remember now?
Denman Inn. Denman Inn. Because that was on Denman Street, you see. And there's a Havelock. Havelock, that was the one. Yeah, and the Garners. That was all three pubs within about 200 yards.
And when you went in there, you'd be in uniform. Was there any sort of... you know, did people look at you? Or?
Not really, no. No. I think they were sort of getting used to the idea of people sort of having to be in uniform because the war broke out, but...
Yeah. They wouldn't buy you a drink, then?
Well, one or two would, I mean... Yeah, so, drink up, kid. Because in those days, I mean, you could afford to ask about drink up. Not like today, I mean, £2 a pint. It's only threepence a pint.
Anything else about your training? How fit were you, for instance? I mean, would you be going on route marches or...
Well, I was all skinny. When I joined up, I mean, we had to pass a medical to be sort of... fit for war. And the quack says, well, you know, I was about 7 stone 8. He says, well, when I was in the...
How tall were you?
5'7".
So that's pretty light.
It is light, yeah. Felt like a bag of bones. And I used to tie all kinds of things to... I used to go to the gym twice a week to try and put a bit of weight on, all kinds of things like that. And, you know. And he said, oh, I don't know. He said... do you really want to go? I said, yeah, of course. You know, all the mates have passed and I want to go with them. So. A bloke called Finnegan, I always remember him. He says, well, all right, yeah.
He signed you through. Where was that medical inspection? Was that a Rugby before you went? Or was
yeah,
that?
Rugby. Yeah.
And what did you think of Finnegan, now we're on him?
Finnegan, oh, a good lad, one of the best.
In what way?
Yeah. Well, again, he was one of the lads, you know. You know what I mean? Some of the officers have been a bit toughy, aren't they? But he was one of the boys, you know. He's an Irishman, wasn't he? Finnegan. Finnegan, beginning end. He liked his beer and he liked his whiskey. And
Was he drunk? Was he a he wasn't a drunk though, was he?
Oh no. He liked his booze, you know. But I mean, it didn't go over the top, you know.
Some of the men think he was a bit. They used to call him Old Aspro, and that he wouldn't give him proper treatment. They thought they were malingering. Did you see that side of him, or did you think he was fair?
No, I think he was fair.
Mm. Now, anything else?
He's a bloke who got a sense of humour. I mean, some of these people haven't. I mean, that's what life's all about, isn't it?
So, would you go on these route marches? Do you remember route marching? Would the signallers go with them on there?
No, not normally, no. Signallers were sort of law unto themselves, you know.
Can you talk a bit about that? What was it about signallers, you think? Why did you stand out?
Well, I think that regarded them as soldiers, sort of, you know, just like a clod sort of thing, but a signaller was supposed to be a brainy sort of bloke. And that's what I think the difference was there. I mean, if you remember people, you remember, if you're in this flaggy, as they call it, you say, oh, he's a flaggy, yeah. Oh, I remember him, oh. But you couldn't remember a driver or a gunner, because you weren't mixing with them, you see. That's why you see a pole apart, I mean.
You said you weren't good at Morse, but were you enjoying the work?
Oh, well, I mean, it's more the comradeship as well. I mean, I used to sort of wangle through. I mean, I was adequate on what I was doing. So, I mean,
you hadn't had any trouble with your Morse up to then, then?
Oh, no.
And the first move was up to Rillington. Do you remember leaving Nottingham?
Rillington,
well, up near.
Oh, Rillington. I remember that, Rillington.
Do you remember the journey up there or leaving Nottingham? What happened when you left Nottingham? It was a bit of a send-off, wasn't it?
Well, from rugby.
From Rillington. From Nottingham to Rillington.
There's no send-off. There's a big send-off when we got to Rillington, because they got the band playing.
When you got there?
Yeah. And that was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I always remember coming off the train, because they played South of the Border. And they was marching down the old South of the Border, down Mexico way. At 4 o'clock in the morning.
In Rillington?
Yeah.
Well, were there many people about, or just the band?
By the time the band started, there was hundreds. No, they're looking out the windows, not on the floor. Get up!
Whose band was it? Was it the South Knots?
South Knots, yeah.
So, what were your billets like? Where did you go?
I was at Scampton.
What was your billet like?
Not too bad.
Where were you? Do you remember?
Well, I think it was. I couldn't quite remember actually where we were, but I mean, Scampton weren't too bad.
What was the food like?
Shocking.
Now, people say that, but what was wrong with it?
Well, not enough of it, and when it was cooked, it was terrible.
So you were hungry?
Yeah.
And in what way was it terrible?
Well, there's not enough of it. When it was cooked, I mean, it was sort of. Well, no, we hadn't got proper cooks. They didn't know how to cook it.
So, what would they do wrong, for example?
Well, cabbage for a start. I mean, it's like, well, like the thing on earth. And, you know, you wouldn't give it to pigs, I don't think. It's terrible. Anybody that scammed would tell you. We used to go out trying to shoot rabbits and trap them. We even went into the main town to buy snares and all kind of things.
But what, for instance, could they do to cabbage that made it so horrible? I mean,
well, you asked me. I mean, you know, they said who called the cooker, you know.
Did you have a word with the cooks? I mean, would the people complain direct? You can complain to your orderly officer, but, I mean, would people talk to the cooks?
Not really, no.
Did you complain?
A bloke was a sergeant, I mean, obviously a sergeant cooking, and you were an ordinary sort of trooper kind of thing. I mean, it wasn't unheard of to go and complain to a sergeant.
What about the orderly officer? Would they do anything?
No.
Why not?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, they would think that if it was good enough for them, it was good enough for us, sort of thing.
Were they getting the same food, do you think?
No. They was getting this sentinel thing. I don't know much about what they used to get, but did you? They've never got the stuff we got.
So, what were you doing at Skempton? It's just outside Rillington, isn't it? Skempton?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What were you doing there?
Well, the same sort of thing we did with, you know, on these weekends. I mean, just do routine. We'd go up to West Lavington and, no, Pickering. East Pickering and West Pickering, not far from there, is it? We'd go doing little schemes on our own. And
how did you get on with the local, the Yorkshire folk?
Oh, no.
But they were friendly to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And anything else before the next move? Next move, 6th of November, not long, down to Rugby.
Or to Rugby.
Do you remember the move?
Not really, but I remember Rugby. I mean,
what do you remember about it?
Well, we visited in the there was the Adam and Eve pub in the centre of Rugby. And the back of there was like, for the summer trade, a big barn kind of thing, tin barn. And we were stationed there, that's why I came across Willie Pringle.
Why? Why was that?
Well, we were in this big sort of barn, and there was A tube and B tube.
Both of you in the same barn?
Yeah. And you used to have your kit laid out, and, you know, and of course, we weren't supervised with being, well as the colour was always away, you know, sort of on some kind of scheme, and it wasn't an officer sort of, you know, kept coming down to see his men. If it was there yesterday, they'll be there tomorrow, and that kind of thing. And when they come down, the orchid, old Willie Pringle came down, and he was beat up, and he was a devil for checking things, you know. That's stuff there. And he came to my bed and he said, and I let him go on like a bit, and I said, excuse me, sir, signals. It was awful, like, so of course, you know, we used to get away with murder with being signals. If it were a gun, I mean, Willie was in charge of the guns, but not in charge of us. And our bloke didn't come round it too much, so we scarred a bit, you know.
Was the food any better at Rugby?
A little bit better, yeah. But Scampton was terrible.
Now, while you were there, you got a load of reinforcements. The two types, I want to ask you about both. The first lot were some militiamen, conscripts.
Oh, militia, yeah.
Of which Ernie Hurry was one.
He was one of them, yeah.
Can you tell us a story? Because you've got a story. Can you tell it on tape? What happened? You met Ernie Hurry and the militiamen early, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, that's when he could.
But if you tell the story first.
That's why it didn't come to Rugby. Although we were at Rugby, we moved then to Alton Beckton, which is up the road from Rugby, right? And that was the weekend I was supposed to be on leave, made me bed up, and Ernie came like as a, you know, reinforcement, and the sergeant major, where he was, said, well, there's beds over there, game, weren't there? Of course, when I came in, 11 o'clock at night, and tried to get into my bed and said, what are you doing? He said, well, sergeant major, I can have this bed. He said, I'm a new recruit. I said, well, get out of the bloody bed. Oh, let me get in. So I went and kept the same bed as he did. That was Holland Beckering. A big hall, old-fashioned hall, you know.
When were you at the Adam and Eve Long then?
Oh, about, I think about 3 months.
And then you moved to Holton Beckering.
Yeah.
And what was Holton Beckering? Was that a good billet?
Well, it was like an old hall, and you sleep on the floor, mind you, but, you know, a lot of sleeping on the floor, wasn't there?
And what did you think of the militiamen then? People, you know, the conscripts.
By and large, they're all right. Well, my friend at school, he was a militiaman, he came to us.
Who was that?
A bloke called Turner.
And did they fit in well?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did anyone mind that they were conscripts? I mean, a lot, you were territorials, they were conscripts. Was there any feeling about
it?
Not
really, no.
And did they know the stuff when they arrived? I mean,
well, no, they had to learn. I mean, sort of, I mean, there was conscripts, but I mean, they weren't, well, it's like me, when I went in at 18, I didn't know then what I set from her. You had to learn as you went along.
And what about the other lot that arrived? Were the regulars, the reservists, the horse holders?
Oh, them from...
Do you remember them coming
in? Yeah, yeah.
What did you think of them?
They were, well, the regular soldiers, I mean, 90% of them were good lads. The odd sort of 10%, I mean, were renegades, you know.
In what way? What was wrong with them?
Well, I won't say that wrong with them, but they'd all been used to sort of, you know, getting the old bottle, you know, sort of jugging up, and a lot of them thought that we were, you know, sort of being TA, I mean, we were pansies kind of thing, you know, and they'd always been sort of macho, you know. But the majority of them, they were quite good lads, horse horses.
So
I think they came from the first R8, didn't they?
They came from a variety.
Okay, came from India, most of them, yeah. Mm.
Now, while you were there, I mean, what sort of training were you doing? Were there any of the signallers taught to drive?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you learn to drive?
Yeah.
Can you remember who taught you and how did they do it?
Well, it was, it was sort of Fred Carno's kind of thing. I mean, you get a bloke. When you turn right and turn left, you got a little piece of string to pull, and an arm came up. I mean, imagine that, eh? In this day and age. The bloke who took me, he was a sergeant. I think he's dead now. But he used to have a piece of string, and you tie it on that foot.
And on your left foot?
Yeah. And if that foot went anywhere near your clutch, it'd pull it away. Because people ride on the clutch. I mean, you know that, don't you?
No, what do you mean? Sorry, I don't drive. So
you don't drive, no. Well, there's your brake and there's your clutch. Now, when you're timid and you're learning, a lot of people, you see, if you clutch out, I mean, you're freewheeling. So you've got to learn to sort of do that sort of thing with your clutch. And some people still ride on the clutch, so your foot's just touching that plate. If you ride that clutch, you wear the clutch out. So eventually you've got no clutch to change gear in. And he used to pull it. If your foot went in any of that clutch, he'd pull it
aside with a string.
Yeah.
Did they teach you how to double declutch?
All the time. When I came home, I was all double.
What does it mean? Can you just explain? Because some of them have explained it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. What was the
Well,
idea?
Not being mechanically minded, when I came back, my lad said, you don't need to do that. I said, these are single mesh gears. So again, I didn't know what that meant. But when you go like that, you see, you start off and you go, you're into one, and you let your clutch out, see, and you put your accelerator down, and you go, then you go. And when you double the clutch, you go one, into neutral, wait, and then into your gear. Well, today on the single mesh gear, you just go with one clutch. You don't have to double clutch.
You don't have to go into neutral first.
Yeah, you don't have to go into neutral, you just go into your clutch.
Was it easy to learn?
Well, again, you see, if you're a mechanical bloke or you've got a bit of know-how, it's easy, but I wanted to be a driver, so I sort of put everything into it.
And you learned it?
Yeah.